right. If you will, then please go ahead. You can follow along either in the bulletin or in your Bibles, and turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. And we are looking at verses 1 through 6 particularly as well. So Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Hear ye then the word of the Lord. Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Father, we do thank you for thy holy word. We pray, grant us illumination by thy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is, of course, interesting to read these different accounts in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're always there for a particular purpose for us in the events of his life. Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came preaching and teaching, of course, healing the sick, declaring the gospel, and calling sinners to repentance and faith. He said that he is the Son of Man, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel. He is the great physician and the one who still forgives sins. And yet when Jesus sets out here on the Sabbath day, going to the local synagogue, and he teaches, of course, with authority and with the working of miracles as well, he would do so with those with the social religious power, such as the Pharisees, and those with political power, such as the Herodians, who would feel threatened by Jesus. And so, as we saw last time, they were looking for anything that they might be able to accuse the Lord of, because that's what they do, right? They were always looking for something to accuse him of, even if it was ultimately a great thing, a great and marvelous thing. And yet they would try to find even a gnat. Is there some gnat that we can strain out to accuse him of? And so, anyway, last time Jesus proved that he is himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And as the Lord of the Sabbath, who is greater than David, who ate the showbread, certainly the need to eat supersedes the need for ritual ceremonies, okay? The need to eat superseded the need for ritual ceremonies. But doing so, Jesus proved that he and his disciples did not violate the law of God at all regarding the Sabbath. He did not violate the Sabbath. I don't care what the heretics on TV are saying. Now they're trying to say that, if you haven't heard them. They're trying to say, well, Jesus would often break the Ten Commandments as if it meant to help somebody. Like, no, he did not. Okay, that was an error, and that is heresy. So that is not true. Now, certainly, there were some lawful works. There are some lawful works that can be done even on the Sabbath day. I know many people today who take a very hardline stance on what they will and what they will not do on the Lord's Day. They're almost Jewish in their keeping of the day and keeping of the Lord's Day practice. They will prepare every single meal that they're going to have on the Lord's Day the day before, every single meal. They'll prepare them all beforehand. They may use paper plates, but somebody's going to collect the garbage up, right? But anyway, they will usually, what they'll do is they'll wait till the next day before they do cleanup or wash up the dishes or anything else. And so usually that means that the mamas and grandmamas really dump on the next day a lot, right? So, but anyway, just saying that. Are they free to be, you know, that specific on how they observe the Lord's Day like that? Yeah, actually they can. If you want to eat all of your meal or prepare all of your meals the day before, you're certainly welcome to do that. But you don't have to, because even Jesus and his disciples ate on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day. He ate on the Sabbath day. So they are free to do that. Let each one be convinced in his own heart, right? After all, you do have to eat. You do have to clean up. You need to be sanitary, okay? You need to be clean, right? It's okay to wash your hands. You don't always have to use the sanitizer at home unless you have company, I suppose. But anyway, but I also know far more people who go to the opposite extreme of that. They go to the opposite and they treat the Lord's Day as if it was just another day of the week. It's just another, you know, just like Saturday or any other day. Okay, they treat the Lord's Day just like anything else. For them, it will be a shopping day, a going to the mall day, it'll be a going fishing day, it'll be a no, I'm not listing these in order to offend anybody. There may be a shopping, fishing day, golf day, what do you call that game where they have the whole cornhole day, you know, whatever it might be, okay? It may be a day to go see an NFL game with their family or their friends or the guys, whatever it might be. For them, then, there's no difference between the Lord's Day and any other day of the week, and you see that all the time as well. Are they free, then, to ignore the fourth commandment and treat it as if it means nothing? Are they free to do that? No. Are they free to break God's commandment? No, they're not free to do that. Now, having said all of that, are there some works that we can actually do on the Lord's Day that would still be keeping the day holy and recognizing it? Remember to keep the Sabbath holy. Are there lawful deeds that we can do on the Lord's Day? Yes, there are. There are. And we should be doing these things, right? We should be. Which leads us to look at this particular event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When, basically, again, we're at this place where Jesus is accused, again, of doing the unlawful things on the Sabbath day. And for this, we come to a narrative account here in the Word of God, here in the Gospel of Mark. Because first of all, we see there was, in verse 1 and 2, there was a man there with a withered hand. This is a narrative, a little bit different format for that, right? There was a man with a withered hand. Again, I'll read verse 1. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And so they know that this man has a withered hand. They know it's deformed and decrepit, or whatever manner it may be. They are fully aware of that. So remember that as we read through this. Pray for me, I'm on antihistamines. All right. But yes, they were looking for anything that they might possibly accuse him of. And so this was, of course, Jesus' usual habit was to essentially attend church. He would go to the local synagogue, and there he would go and he would preach to them. And so he came to this particular synagogue to do so, but this time there was a man there who had a withered hand. Now the word withered can mean dried up or paralyzed. And if you have a part of your body that's paralyzed, what will typically happen to the muscles? They atrophy and they shrink up. And such that that was the case with the hand, and the muscles atrophy because you can't use it. It may be, you know, gnarled up and deformed looking and all kinds of things that are happening there because the man cannot use his hand at all. And so this is what's taking place. It was some kind of deformity. In other words, he would not be allowed in the temple, right? But it was some kind of deformity that he had in his hand. By this time, Jesus has already healed twice on the Sabbath day, according to Mark's gospel. He's already healed twice. The first time he cast a demon out in Capernaum, in a synagogue over there, and then also was when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, neither of those healings caused any kind of commotion or problems, which is a surprise, right? Now, casting out the demon at a synagogue and inside of the synagogue may have been seen as a necessary intervention. Somebody needs to do about this. Today we say, deacons, you need to go check that person. You'll see what's going on there, all right? But anyway, they would see this as a necessity, right? So the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the healing of his mother-in-law, that occurred at his home, and basically it was done in private, and so there wouldn't be any commotion from that. Nevertheless, the Pharisees probably heard about those healings, and so they began to look for ways, how can we use this against him? They're looking for ways to trap him. Now, the man with the withered hand, now, is he going to die from a withered hand? No, he's not, okay? He does not have a pressing need. That is pivotal to understanding the Jewish mindset here. He does not have a pressing need. Is he going to be okay if he heals his hand the next day? Sure, he'll be fine. Be a lot happier the day before, but anyway, he'll still be fine of the next day. So he did not have a life-threatening condition, but he was deformed. Of course, that rules out temple worship for him immediately. Everyone there saw that he had a deformed hand, including the Pharisees. They knew that. In fact, there may be indication they knew that, and some had the idea in the first place. Okay? But it says, and so they watched Jesus. And why is that? They wanted to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day so that they can accuse him. Okay? Now that does seem kind of odd to us that they would want to accuse him of doing such a marvelous work and wonder of God. And so they actually acknowledge here, the Pharisees acknowledge that Jesus can heal the sick. They acknowledge that by doing that. Their problem is the timing of it. They don't like the timing. It's kind of funny about that, right? But they acknowledge Jesus can heal the sick. They knew he can do it. They have no doubt that he can do it. But they don't seem to be able to do this. Put two and two together. Only God can do that. Well, that's right. You're right about that. Only God can do that. Okay, need to get that point. Okay, they had a hard time putting two and two together because they were so hard-hearted. It's very obvious that they outright believe that Jesus can heal. So I beat that puppy enough, right? Well, let's continue on here. First of all, what would they accuse Jesus of if he did heal him on the Sabbath day? Because it sounds like a very good thing. Well, based on the understanding of the rabbis of the day in those New Testament times, if a life was threatened, then and only then could medical care be rendered. Okay, so you just got an accident. You going to die from it? No, he's not going to die from it, but it might be nice if you set the bone, all right? But yeah, if you weren't going to die from it, they would say, no, you don't need medical care. That can wait till the next day. The Mishnah, okay, the Jewish traditions and all this, the Mishnah says this, whenever there is doubt whether life is in danger, this overrides the Sabbath. Well, that's kind of important to recognize, right? Even they see that there are some exceptions, okay, to the rule here. So yes, if there is a threat of the loss of life, medical care can be given on the Sabbath day. You'd be free to send out first responders and all that stuff. They're all good to go, right? That'd be very nice. However, even at that time, midwives, they were allowed to work on the Sabbath, right? You don't know when that baby's going to be born, and that baby's coming right now. The midwife is going to be there, okay? So they were allowed to go and deliver babies on, you know, the Sabbath day, okay? Because childbirth cannot wait until the next day. Circumcision. Circumcision was allowed since it was a sacred act and did not profane the Sabbath day. It was allowed. And so, since this man's life was not in dire consequences, his life was not in danger, then any healing done by Jesus would be considered, under the Jewish traditions, to be an unlawful work. How dare you do such a thing and violate the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, in this case? How dare you? The Pharisees consider it a Sabbath violation to do this, a fourth commandment violation, to violate the very law of God, even though this would be an act of kindness, an act of compassion, an act of grace, and even though only God can perform such miracles, they are as hard-hearted as you can possibly imagine. hard-hearted, deeply hard-hearted, set their teeth, if you will, against the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be able to press charges against Jesus for healing and for changing this life. Because it is life-changing for this man. And they want to basically stop him if they can and arrest him for revealing the power of God to heal the sick, right? Which leads us, secondly, to look at this in verses 3 and 4. Here we have a question. Is it lawful? Is it lawful? Verse 3 and 4. And he said to the man with the withered hand, because Jesus knows all things. He knows what these Pharisees are thinking. And yet Jesus is like, he's going to do this anyway. Okay? Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? And they were silent. He put them to shame, essentially. They were silenced. Literally, Jesus said to him this. He basically said this, stand up in the midst. Literally, okay? Stand up or arise into the midst or in the middle. Stand. We would say, come up here and stand in the middle of everybody so they can see you. That's exactly what Jesus is calling him up to do. So here we have this poor man who with the deformed hand is suddenly being brought up as a topic of discussion. He is probably kind of embarrassed to the sudden attention a little bit, but he has likely heard that Jesus has done miracles before. So he probably has heard this. Even the Pharisees are aware of this, right? Likewise, he has probably heard things such as this. I wonder what you did to deserve this deformity in your life. Who sinned? This man, or is it the fault of his parents that he had this come upon him and he has this deformed hand? Who is guilty here? What sin did you actually commit, sir, that you have this problem? And of course, Jesus refutes that whole idea immediately. And he is disgusted with these people here for that thing. That was the mindset of the day. That was how the Jewish leadership, that was how they thought. That was how the average person, that's what they thought as well. If you were sick, if you had any kind of physical thing wrong with you, it was because either it was your own sin or it was because of the sins of your parents. Even the disciples believed that this time. Even they thought this was the case. Remember the man born blind? Blind all of his life? Who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. This is for the glory of God. And so, as we see, even this case as well, for the man with the deformed hand. But Jesus knows the hearts of men, and he points the question directly at the Pharisees who are all there in the synagogue. And besides, the Pharisees were supposed to be the experts. They are to be the experts on what is right and wrong. They should know better. Let them answer the question if you can, and if they dare to answer the question. But they did not dare. They would not say a word. And so Jesus there exposes their hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. They should have been, you know, you're right. You are allowed to do this particular thing. But they are, remember the whole fencing of the law by their multitudes of the traditions of men that they kept piling up lest anybody might violate the actual commandment. And they made the law into a tyranny of the people, including the Sabbath day. And so if Jesus heals this man, would that be a good deed? Sure it would. If it happened to you and he did that, yeah, of course it'd be a good deed. Would that be an act of mercy? Yes, it would. A great act of mercy. Is Jesus obligated to do so? No. He's never obligated to heal. But he does so by grace. In fact, to leave him unhealed in this case, with all that's been taking place, if he left him unhealed now, that would show a lack of compassion and mercy. Because they all know there that he can do this. And yet he would chose not to at this particular time. But are you allowed to save someone's life on the Sabbath day? Yes, you are. Are you allowed to take one? No, you're not. Okay? You're not. Is it permissible to harm someone on the Sabbath day? No, it's never permissible to do so, or any other day of the week, right? And the Pharisees, they are silent. Yes, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day and every day. Yes, it is lawful to show mercy on the Sabbath day and every day. Is it lawful to show mercy on the Lord's day? Yes, it is. Absolutely. Mercy and grace. In fact, as we saw last Sunday, when Jesus and his disciples were plucking and eating heads of grain, eating is a necessity. This was done on the Sabbath day, the Lord's day for us, right? And so works of necessity, such as eating and drinking, getting dressed and cleaning up, you know, all those things are necessary, okay? And they are lawful things to do on the Sabbath day. And lawful works will be done on the Lord's day. They are to be done on the Lord's day. But in our passage here this morning before us, we also see not only works of necessity, because you do have to eat, okay, but also works of mercy are also permissible to do on the Sabbath. So yes, works of necessity, works of mercy, they are completely lawful to do on the Lord's day. Now, of course, you hear the joke about, you know, I wasn't at church this morning, ox fell in the ditch. Well, two or three more weeks passed by, same ox fell in the ditch, and the person says, it might be time to kill that ox, right? So, all right. So, yeah, I've told that a few times. But it's true. It's true. Okay, there's certain things we can do to take care of, right? So that's exactly what Jesus has been doing. Works of necessity and works of mercy. And those are always permissible on the Lord's day. What are works of mercy? Can we say that? Kind of a generic category. But you really know what it is to show mercy to somebody, right? But a few examples. Visiting the sick. Visiting shut-ins. Visiting the widows and orphans. Visit those in the hospital. I know COVID is a little, but I'm talking about normally, right? All right, visiting those in the hospitals, those who are in the prison, helping the helpless, you know, in their time of need, sending a word of encouragement to someone who's down and discouraged, or when you give to help a needy brother or sister, even as a love offering this morning. But this is actually what? It's an expression of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. It is a service unto the Lord and a service unto your brothers and sisters in Christ. Is it lawful to do good? Always lawful to do good. Always lawful to show an act of love and kindness. Always. And the Pharisees were silent. Now in Greco-Roman, or if you want to say Greek-Roman times, okay? In Greco-Roman rhetoric, to silence an opponent was to shame the opponent, meaning you won the debate. The Pharisees are silenced and they are shamed. And they should be ashamed of themselves, but they're not. But they are angry. My, they are angry. They are enraged and they are furious and their hate is strong with this one. Right? The hate is mighty in these Pharisees, for there is no compassion, there is no mercy in their hearts at all for this man that is there who didn't say, he didn't even come up to Jesus, would you heal me? And Jesus chose to do it of his own free will to do so. Jesus chose to do so. But they are very, very angry at Jesus. They've been humiliated, if you will, and silenced by the act. Leading us to see, basically, the compassion and the hard-hearted in verse 5 and 6. And they're talking about Jesus. And he looked around at them, talking about the Pharisees. He looked around at them with anger. And he's grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and his hand was restored. Rarely, by the way, do we see that Jesus is said to be angry, but here it is, of course, a righteous anger. But Mark never holds back when Jesus expresses his emotions. And so, yes, Jesus is rightfully so, but he is angry at these Pharisees because the hardness of their hearts is so hard. Wow, it's rough. But these men, these Pharisees, they are hypocrites. And not only hypocrites, but they are the worst kind of hypocrites because they have no compassion for their own people. No compassion for their own people. No mercy for the sick. No kindness to show to the downtrodden. After all, it's probably their own fault. No care at all. Let them wait. Let them wait. Except for themselves, by the way. So to those who would show no mercy, Jesus calls upon the man with a deformed hand, stretch out your hand. Because something mighty is about to take place. There with the words of Christ, the command of He who created the universe Himself, He is the one who calls forth light in the darkness. Stretch out your perfectly restored, healed hand. Let them all see it. Stand in the midst. Turn around. Show them. Let them see what God has done for you on this day. Let them all see that it is God. And God is a God of mercy even on the Lord's day. Even the Sabbath day. Stretch out that hand and give glory to God. And He does so. He lifts up His withered hand, probably behind His back or something, lifts it up, and it was completely healed. Imagine the emotions running through that man. The power of God has been revealed in the very eyes of all those who are there in the synagogue and here in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with a mighty power and authority. He is the one who forgives and is forgiven. He says, "Be clean, and you are clean." He heals, and you are healed. Indeed, truly healed. But not all were celebrating in the synagogue on that day. I would imagine there was a lot of, you know, joy and shouting and all that, but there was not a lot of celebrating. Not all were doing that. Well, Christ, while He did what was completely and perfectly lawful on the Lord's day, doing good works of necessity and mercy, a perfect example as well for the body of Christ today. The Pharisees were beside themselves with hate. Beside themselves with it. Look at verse 6. So the Pharisees, it says, they went out. And what did they do? Celebrated? Look what the power of God, look what God's Messiah has done. He's truly proven Himself to be the Son of David, the Son of God. No, what do? They went out. And repented? Not at all. Not a lick. They did not go out and repent. They would not believe. And they went out to do works of necessity and mercy? No. No. The Pharisees went out, we read, and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against Him, how to destroy Him. That is what they were doing on the Sabbath day. That's how the ungodly set apart this holy day. The Sabbath day, the Lord's day before us. Another day to do evil and harm is how they do this. Luke chapter 6 verse 11 says that they were filled with fury. That's the kind of hatred that they had. They're filled. They storm out of there. And so they are blind leaders of the blind. The hardest hearts of the stiff-necked, if you will. What do they immediately go out to do? They begin to plot. They begin to plot against Jesus. They begin planning how we can kill Him. What must He must die? Now, does He? He will, and He must. But here, their intentions and their motives are pure evil. How they can kill Him. Notice they get together with the Herodians. You realize the Herodians and the Pharisees don't like each other. Okay, they do not like each other at all. The Herodians and the Pharisees, do. You could say they hate each other, right? We only see the Herodians mentioned here in Mark's Gospel, here and later in Mark 12, verse 13, and that's when they plot with the Pharisees to take Jesus' life. That's the only other times in Mark's Gospel. This, if you will, is an unholy alliance. It is an unholy alliance. The Herodians and the Pharisees, they're strange bedfellows, if you will. Okay, the Herodians, they were pro-Roman. Because that's where they get their power from. They're pro-Roman. And the Pharisees are anti-Roman. They're pro too. They don't like the Romans. But the Herodians, well, put it this way, they just didn't like each other, right? The Pharisees and the Herodians, they don't like each other. But they're able to agree on this. They both saw Jesus as a threat to their power and their position and their influence. The Herodians saw him as a threat to their political power, great political power for them. The Pharisees saw him as a threat to their religious power and their position. And on that they can agree, and on that they unify to plot against the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what do we see now in the context here? We see the Pharisees doing that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. It is not lawful to do any day, and especially the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. It is not ever lawful to do evil. And here they're planning it and plotting it. It is not lawful to harm others, and they want to murder. It is not lawful to plan to do evil ever. And here on the Lord's Day, they're the ones who should be called on the carpet. And by the way, they have been, right? They should be the ones called on the carpet. But Jesus showed us here, remember what he said? He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was meant for our good. It's for a day of rest. It's for a time of worship, a time to put our secular cares and labors aside that we might gather with the saints of God, the body of Christ together, to come before him and worship him. Now, it's meant for our good. And yes, it is a day when works of necessity, works are, you know, for rest, of course, necessity and mercy, these kinds of things are to be done on the Sabbath day. Are there some necessities that could be, you know, put off? Sure, okay. Are you free to plan every meal out for the Lord if you want to, you know, but you don't have to, right? But you do have to eat, right? Unless God has called you to fast, but be careful when you do that. But works of necessity and mercy are here, both in chapter 3 and chapter 2. We see that there clearly before us. It's always okay to do good on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. These Pharisees were violating it by doing what they thought was right and it was wrong. Base what you know is right and wrong on the Word of God. Always, not what America may be telling you today. And so I pray that they will begin to excel, if you will, in such a lawful Sabbath work. Works of necessity, yes, but works of mercy, doing good unto your brothers and sisters in Christ, doing those works of mercy because you love them. You love the Lord, you love his people, and you desire to serve him even as you serve them. And as you do so, yes, you're showing the grace of God in Christ that has been shown to you. You're showing the same kind of loving kindness that the Lord has shown to you. And it's always lawful and good to do such works of mercy and necessity on this day. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy holy word. Oh Lord, we pray that you would bless it to every heart, inside and outside, down the street, wherever. Well, Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. Father, we pray that we might begin to see the Lord's day not as something we resent or something that we don't look forward to, but that we might always look forward to this day of rest before you, a day of worship. Lord, a day of doing and showing love to one another, oh Lord, even as you've shown great compassion and love for every single one of us. Lord, we pray, bless thy holy word by your Holy Spirit, and Lord, move among our hearts. Forgive us, O Lord, if we've been uncompassionate. Lord, if we have not shown mercy when we should. Lord, we've been too harsh, Father, toward a brother or sister, especially on this day, but every day. But Lord, especially on this day, we might rejoice together with the saints of God in that eternal Sabbath, even as we begin doing today. Father, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.